Here we are. Okay. All right. I think we're live. Hey, welcome, everybody. This is Fritz Berggren, bloodandfaith.com. We're going to talk about very generally what's going on in the world. The move towards globalization and the different forces that are pushing us towards a unitary global government. Fritz Berggren here, bloodandfaith.com, also on Podbean, fritzreport.podbean.com. In many ways, we are at an inflection point in history, driven by technological factors and economic factors. Money always comes into it. But we now have created such a technological revolution that is feasible. It's technically feasible to manage every aspect of every person's life and every word that they speak, every email they send, every thought, in fact, they have, every thought that they have. Our microelectronics and our internet, the Internet of Things, has created an environment in which it is technologically possible for absolute global tyranny. They see it, we vaguely see it, and they're reaching for it as hard as they can and fast as they can. Many different people have made this observation. I'm by no means unique in that. I'm not by no means an early adopter of that. I have said frequently and often that the drive for a global government is something that's it's a fundamental idea in the Holy Scriptures. Christians ought to be aware of it. And Christians ought to understand that it is evil. This is what blows my mind. Christians don't understand this. Christians don't undersee this. They don't see it. There's a lack of theological knowledge. It's not even that. It's about reading your Bible. That's all it is. It's about reading the Bible. If you read the Bible, if you have a basic Sunday school understanding of the world, you can read the story of Babel, and you can understand that fallen mankind, rebellious mankind, devious mankind in union with Satan, yearns for global government. It wants this global government, despite what God wants, and it will push for this global government. It's an old story. It goes back, I don't know, 3,500 years, 4,000 years. It goes back a long time. Genesis chapter 11, matter of fact. And so when we see this, fast forward, I don't know, 6,000 years. Not that long. A long time, thousands of years to today. And you see this push for global government, and it's nothing new. It's nothing new under the sun. And if a Christian people had a biblical understanding of the Bible, if they had a robust understanding of what was in the Holy Scriptures, they would recognize it for what it is and resist it. But they don't. Unfortunately, they don't. And there's many reasons for that. One of them is we've mislabeled the Holy Scriptures. We've called one portion of the Scriptures old. We've called another portion of the Scriptures new. This is not how the Bible was written. The Bible did not subdivide itself into an old section and a new section. That refers, the Old Covenant and the New Covenant refer to specific covenants, not bodies of Scriptures. But because we don't understand this, and because the preachers don't understand this, we're lost. And so we cast out 80% of the Bible, and then we're left with the Greek Scriptures, and we don't know what to do with them, because if you don't have the 80%, if you don't have the Hebrew Scriptures, the 20% don't make a lot of sense. You can't just hang them out there without a context. The Hebrew Scriptures provide the context for the Greek Scriptures. And if you've been following me at all, and bloodandfaith.com, listening to my live services every Sunday morning. For the last, 9 weeks, I think we have walked through the first 9 chapters of the book of Genesis and related them directly to everything that has happened since then, particularly with the life of Jesus Christ and where we are today. This morning, I caught a glimpse of a video of a woman speaking at the World Governance Summit. This is another one of those NGOs that are quasi-official. They're official enough to warrant attention, but not official enough to provide some deniability. They're calling for all the nations to recognize the need for a global government, and they're rolling out a path to make it happen. And I'd like to know how many of you actually had somebody ask you if you wanted to do this. Because the answer is no. You probably said, no, I don't want anything to do with this. Nobody asked the average person whether or not they wanted global government. Nobody did. Nobody said, hey, Fritz, you think it's a good idea to have global government? I would have said no. I would hope all the pastors would say no. Because if there's a global government, if there's a return to Babel, there is no opportunity for Christian nations. There's no opportunity to, well, you'll see the growing tyranny, the growing clampdown, the growing boot on the face of mankind. And you've heard me talk about that. You've got all these unwritten rules where you can't be racist, sexist, homophobic, transphobic, queerphobic, intolerant, divisive, anti-Semitic, or Islamophobic. By the time you run that gamut, you have nothing to say except some comment about what you fed your pet fish today. It's baked in. The limits of your conversation are baked in. Once you run that gamut, there's nothing more to say. And then you can't be a science denier. Oh, he's a science denier. We believe in science. It's part of your religion. So you can't talk about the creation. You can't talk about Sodom and Gomorrah, or one man and one woman, or the mixing of kinds. And basically, the entire biblical narrative becomes verboten, forbidden, becomes forbidden. And then how are you going to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with people? The church, in fact, has tried to do that these last 100 or so years. And they've accepted everything the world says, and then they try to spread peanut butter on top of it. Say, see all this mess? He says, it's fine. We're going to spread some Jesus peanut butter on top, and it's really good. And they're like, well, why? What's the point? Well, Jesus loves you. Great. Moving on. Well, he's going to forgive your sins. Great. That's really cool. Moving right along. Well, you need to repent. Repent from what? Your sin. What sin? Sin's man-made. Sins are human constructions of man-made morality. And so it becomes extremely difficult to share the basic gospel of Jesus Christ because the foundations have been destroyed. And so here we are in 2022. There's this massive movement for global governance. You see them cooperating more and more on all these things, such as the response to COVID, masks or no masks, global vaccination project, the global jab, of disputed therapeutical use. There's a lot of anecdotal evidence out there and more statistical evidence that the jab does more harm than good, but they don't care. They don't care. A lot of evidence out there that the COVID was man-made, that the disease was man-made and the cure was man-made. Imagine that. The response to it was man-made. Global vaccines, global vaccine passports, universal travel restrictions. You can't work unless you get the jab. Can't go to stores unless you get the jab. You can't do anything unless you get the... Talk about totalitarianism. And then I was listening to the gal on the World Governance Summit today. She's talking about, very proudly, she says, you know, all that we've known about money and accounting is now over. And we're coming up with a whole new system. It's completely different. Every transaction will be a perfect recording of every transaction. And it will be perfectly transparent to somebody, probably not to us, probably not to you and I, but probably to the authorities. So if you have a group of people who believe that the world is flat, that the world should be governed from, well, there should be one government for the world, they have implemented a system of control of everything you buy or sell, and what is in your body and what is not in your body, an internet system that is global, And if it's not terrestrial based, it's with these low Earth orbit satellites. Absolute total control. And then from there, we can speculate. Okay, so what does this mean? All right, so here's where it gets fun. In what Jesus had to say about the last days was that in the last days, it will be like in the days of Noah. They'll be marrying and getting married and eating and drinking, and people will carry on as they always have. Also, in the last days of Noah, there was a great deal of mixing of kinds. And I want to point out two different types of mixing. One is the proper mixing is you have male and female, because you have one man and it's male and female. God created man, he created him male and female. And they go together. Mammals, male and female, period. That's it. Not three genders, not four genders. It's not multiple choice. It's male and female. So that's one thing that's gone topsy-turvy. The other one is simply mixing different types of life forms together, which they did before the Great Flood. That's one of the reasons God sent the Great Flood. He had his own global reset. He had his own restart. He says that we're done here. He put the righteous on the ark, and the rest he blotted out from under the sun. And these days you have the technology and the will to introduce into the human body modified RNA that in turns around and instructs the DNA to create spike proteins, I guess. The issue that I'm after is we're introducing man-made substances that are going to alter or instruct the human DNA to do different things. Now, what's it going to tell it to do? Well, I don't think we know yet. And that's the weird part about it. What's next? If you think the COVID vaccine was a one-off and that's it, oh, baby, they're just warming up. They're just warming up. They said, oh, my God, look at this. We got, 4 or 5 billion people jabbed. We put modified RNA inside of them, and that modified RNA gives instructions to the DNA. Don't you think they're chomping at the bit to go to the next step? Don't you think they've already got the next step planned? I don't know what the next step is, but we can speculate. One is absolutely the mixing of kinds. Chimeras. You mix fish and humans, pigs and humans. This is against the Holy Scripture. This is clearly against the Holy Scripture, not only from the time before the flood, but even up in Corinthians, Paul talks about there's different kinds of flesh. There's the flesh of the birds, the flesh of man, the flesh of the fish, the flesh of angels, but you don't mix them. And so you've got this the technological ability and the will to start the mixture of kinds. And we see that not only in popular literature, but we see that openly being discussed by the futurologists. There's a movement of transhumanism going on, which is the insertion of a chip. But hey, let's not stop there. Why not modify our human DNA? Why not mix human DNA with either some kind of animal DNA or simply rewrite the DNA code? That's where it's going. And the goal is a self-directed evolution and eternal life for those who are worthy and can afford it. All kind of spooky stuff, all kind of scary stuff. And perhaps the elimination of millions and billions of people upon the earth because many people are excess eaters, as they consider them. Again, this is Fritz Berggren, bloodandfaith.com. So is this the end? Is this truly the end? Is this person of the Antichrist going to walk onto the stage and say, I'm here, worship me, get my mark, and it's all over? My response is it could be, but not necessarily. I'd remind people that throughout the history of the world, there have been many attempts to do things like this, such as at the Tower of Babel, and such as in Genesis chapter 6. And the Almighty steps in and says, hey, I got different plans for mankind. I got different plans for mankind. I got my own reset. I got my own reset agenda going on. He had a reset agenda with the great flood. The Almighty had a reset agenda with the great flood. He said, no, that ain't it. That's not it. I'm doing a little reset. We're going to have a 99% population reduction. Everybody on the boat's going to be alive. Those not on the boat will be blotted out. Mankind gets off the boat. A few generations later, they're building the Tower of Babel. God says, nah, that ain't it. That's not what I told you to do. And he came in and he enforced ethnic division by changing the languages and introducing a great deal of friction. So mankind was compelled to spread out across the face of the earth and seek their own destiny as individual nations. And there's nothing wrong with that. Had that not happened, you would never have seen the explosion of Christian nations, the emergence of Christendom in Europe. If everything was governed out of a totalitarian controlled entity, they said, "Well, we're not going to allow it. We just won't do that." But you were able to have a different expression. Different nations expressed the worship of God differently, and certainly in Christendom, you had many different nations worshiping Jesus Christ. That's the goal. That's the goal. Christian nations. Fast forward a long, long time, many centuries, and we see a falling away of Europe, a falling away of Christendom from Jesus Christ. Seeing this in the rise of atheism that emerged out of the heart of Christendom with the so-called Enlightenment thinkers. And they captured the institutions of power, they captured the universities, and they began teaching a different religion at the universities. Whereas once faith in Jesus Christ was taught with a robust respect for the text of the Holy Scriptures, over time, atheism was taught, and they wrote their own scriptures, new scriptures. New scriptures being their academic journals and their books, whether it was Darwin's book or Foucault's or Gramsci's or, you pick your scholar. And that becomes the new Holy Scriptures. It becomes a new scripture. Scripture just means writing. So you have the priests and prophets of this new religion quoting each other and teaching the world to follow a new religion based on the worship of man and atheism. Atheism means there's no God. Self-directed evolution. Make no mistake, we're already in this religion. We're already in this global cult. And there are priests and prophets and evangelists for this global cult. The evangelists are the media, the movies, the press, the music, the entertainment. The high priests and the prophets are your university professors. Prophet speaks for God. So this is what God says. And this is what the Holy Scriptures are. And they write down their academic journals and they impose that upon their disciples, which are the students. And then those students go out and they become the grade school teachers for your children. And you wonder how the world gets so screwed up. Well, there's the chain of custody right there. And I know there's a great sense in the, at least in the American evangelical church, that, well, we can't overcome this. They're too strong. There's no way. And I've been teaching out of Judges recently. And all I got to say is they had the same thought. Go read the story of Deborah and Barak and Gideon and Samson. I said, we can't overcome this. We can't, we're not strong enough. And in fact, the Bible says that God sold them into slavery to these other nations because they turned away from God. Are we not in the same situation in Christendom and in the countries that came out of Christendom? Canada, Australia, New Zealand, United States. You know who you are. South Africa. And well, how did we get to this? Well, maybe God sold us to oppression because we turned away from Jesus Christ. Maybe that's what happened, by and large. I think it is. How do we get back? Well, we need to recognize that we need to build a Christian nation. We don't operate we're not grateful to Satan because we're allowed to live. Let's put it that way. We shouldn't take the position like, oh my God, I'm so glad that at least we can, you know, meet once a week in a church. No, that's, no, Jesus Christ is Lord. He's Lord of every nations. And the attitude of it's just so nice to exist in a pagan society, that has led exactly to where we are today. So you send your kids to a school and they're inducted into Sodom and Gomorrah. They're groomed, whether it's through the entertainment, the music, Disney, your schools. Again, those are the evangelists leading people to this other religion. There's no escape from a religious worldview. None. There's no escape from faith. It's just faith in what? And their faith may say there is no faith, but there's still a faith. Their faith may say there is no scriptures, but they have their scriptures. They've got their scriptures. You go to university, you're indoctrinated into reading everything that they want you to read, written by their high priests and prophets. That's what it is. And you listen to their priests, you listen to their prophets, and you sit at their knees for 4 years and you get indoctrinated into the dogma of their cult. That's what it is. It's not a neutral platform. It's the dogma of their cult. Now, before anybody says, you know, they're too strong, we can't beat them, there's no way we can possibly beat them. I'll remind you, the Great Flood and the Tower of Babel. There's two examples right there where God came in and said, boom, I don't care. I don't care what you think. This is what I'm going to do. Here's the third example, the incarnation. Third example is the incarnation. God Almighty showed up, born of a woman, Jesus Christ. He lives, he dies, he rises from the dead. The Holy Spirit is poured out, and the disciples go around the world, and they preach the gospel to all the nations. They went into China. They went into India. They went into Africa. They went into Europe. They went everywhere. The Bible even says that in the book of Acts. It was preached everywhere. As far as I know, they made it to the New World. But it didn't stick everywhere, did it? Where did it stick? It stuck in Europe. A little bit in the Middle East, a little bit in Egypt. You had the Coptic Christians, Coptic Church in Ethiopia, India. So but the civilization that was changed was European civilization. So when we review what's going on in 2022, this massive grab for global power that's utterly antichrist, it's the global cult. They have the technological means to control everybody and the technological means to change our DNA, or at least the DNA of our children. And they will do it. They will do this. They will carry this out. And we can say, oh, this is the end. It's all over. Or how about this? Look, Psalms chapter 2. That's worth reading. The Lord Almighty sits in the heavens and he laughs. He laughs at them. The kings of the earth rage. And the Lord laughs at him. Why are the nations in an uproar and the peoples devising vain things? The kings of the earth take their stand and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. Who's his anointed? It's Jesus Christ. Let us tear their fetters apart. Let us cast their cords from us. He who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord scoffs at him. The Lord God Almighty scoffs at the World Governance Council and the World Economic Forum and the United Nations and all these Antichrist nations. The Lord sits in the heaven and he laughs. He scoffs at them. Then he will speak to them in his anger and terrify them in his fury, saying, but as for me, I have installed my king upon Zion, my holy mountain. What's his mountain? That's the church. We've already come to Mount Zion. This is Jesus Christ. This is Jesus Christ. He says, I've got the king. I've installed my king. It's Jesus Christ. I will surely tell of the decree of the Lord. He said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will surely give the nations as your inheritance, and the very ends of the earth as your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall shatter them like earthenware. Now therefore, O kings, show discernment. Take warning, O judges of the earth. That's my advice to the kings. That's the Almighty's advice to the kings, the rulers of the world. Therefore, O kings, show discernment. Take warning, O judges of the earth. Worship the Lord with reverence and rejoice with trembling. Do homage to the Son, that he not become angry and you perish in a way, for his wrath may soon be kindled. How blessed are all those that take refuge in him. Now, there are countries around the world that have said, we are a Christian people. Hungary comes to mind. It's written into their constitution. We are a Christian people. We don't owe open borders. Open borders are not supported in the Holy Scriptures. If you don't know that, come to bloodandfaith.com and you'll find out. I've written there for years. There's nothing biblical about open borders anymore. There's anything biblical about a world government. If there's a world government, there will be no ability to have diversity or to build Christian nations or to rebuild Christian civilization. So the Lord sits in the heavens and laughs. Look, the Lord Almighty is able to stop this nonsense in a heartbeat, should he so desire. Should he so desire. He could have stopped the crucifixion of Jesus Christ in a heartbeat as well, had he so desired. Jesus Christ made that very clear. Do you not know that I could call 12 legions of my Father's angels right here, right now, this very second? Don't say you've got power over me. But for now, this is what has to happen. Now, do I know what's going to happen? Well, in the long term, I do. Of course I do in the long term. In the long term, Jesus Christ rules, and he will rule the nations with the rod of iron. So whether he returns tomorrow or 100 years or 1,000 years, he's still going to rule the nations with the rod of iron. Do you not think that he will have Christian nations? Or do you think he's going to say, you know what, why don't you go be a Muslim nation? You be an atheist nation. You be Hindu. And Aztecs, why don't you go do some human sacrifice? Do you think that's what's going to go on? I don't think so. He's going to rule them with a rod of iron. And the nation and the kingdoms which will not serve Jesus Christ will be destroyed. Now, this is true for now. It's true for the future. And our job, like John the Baptist, is to prepare the way of the Lord. As the church, our job is to prepare the way of the Lord, to preach the gospel, to bring discipline to the nations. I don't care how big and scary they look. Doesn't matter to me. In a way, this is a good thing, because the church needs to wake up. The church needs to wake up. It's been so pleased to just say, you know what, I can exist in a neutral environment, and nobody can bother me. We'll do our little church thing. And they've so reduced the message that now they're in a situation where they're about to be pinched out of existence. Some of them don't even recognize it. Some of them don't even know it. Many of the churches have already been pinched out of existence. They still think they're alive, but they're dead. I'm in a city surrounded, full of churches with a rainbow flag out front. The rainbow is God's symbol. It's God's covenant. It's the symbol of his covenant that he made with Noah and Noah's offspring and all the animals on the ark, saying, I will never destroy the world again through a global flood. And you've got the homosexuals have stolen that symbol and they use it as a mighty middle finger to the face of God, inverting everything that Genesis offers. Now, God's well able to shut down their agenda. Well able to. Whether he does or not, I don't know. I'm not privy to that. But he's well able to. Has anybody ever heard of the Carrington event? There was a coronal mass ejection. Not quite 200 years ago. And it was so strong. Basically, it sends out these electrons and it hits the earth. And if you have things like telegraph wires running across the continent, it gets into them and fries everything and burns everything and blows everything up. Imagine that happening today. If you haven't heard of that, you may have heard of a electromagnetic pulse, EMP. These can be started in a number of different ways, but one of them is by a nuclear blast 300 miles up in the air. Does the same thing. You get that going on. Well, where's all our satellites? Oh, do an EMP over over the planet in a few different places, and there goes every satellite around the Earth. What if we have nuclear war and you get 20 EMPs going off around the Earth at the same time? Forget the destruction of D.C. or Atlanta or L.A. What happens if there's no satellites upstairs? There's no GPS, and if there's no GPS, there's no ATMs, and there's no, you can't get gas out of the gas machine. What happens if the computer systems of every bank on the planet are fried from an EMP or from a coronal mass ejection? Boom. Bye-bye. See ya. All your little plans just went away. Now, will this happen? I don't know. I have no idea. But history, the nice thing that I enjoy about history, and you know, my background's in history, I got my PhD in history, is things come along that people hadn't imagined, they hadn't thought of. They said, oh, I never, who saw that coming? And I mean, you don't have to look far back. You can look back in our own lifetimes and you say, you know, all of the trillions of dollars spent on national intelligence, they didn't see the collapse of the Soviet Union, did they? For all the billions they spent on Afghanistan, they didn't see the collapse of Afghanistan coming in days. They said minimum 6 months. Boom, it was like, I don't think it was 10 days. It's the same thing now. We don't know what's coming. It's going to be exciting, and not in a good way. But no matter what, listen, you got to have a vision. What comes next? I'm not interested in hearing about the Antichrist. I'm not interested in hearing about him. He's a minor blip on the screen. If he comes, whatever, he'll be dealt with. Whether it's short-term or long-term, we're going to build Christian nations. What does a Christian nation look like? The church needs to start thinking about this. How about reimagining human society from the ground up? What's the basic unit of human society? It's a man and a woman. It's a man and a woman. A male and a female. And the kids. That's the fundamental unit of human society. It's the economic unit. It's the educational unit. It's the political unit. It's the military unit. It's everything. It's the natural organic unit. Extended from there, it's the uncles and the aunts, the grandparents and the grandchildren, the brothers-in-law. It's your kith and kin. This is the natural organic unit that God has created. It's not the color of your passport that was issued by man, where there's absolutely no biological, physical, spiritual relationship between you and somebody else that may hold the same color passport. That's what man's doing. That's not how God has done it. So we have to reimagine society based upon the narrative we're given in the book of Genesis. It tells you the foundation of the nations right there, Genesis chapter 10. The table of nations. It's based on blood. Acts chapter 17, I think verse 26, it reaffirms that. He said, look, from one man, God made all the nations, and he divided up, determining their times and their boundaries and the boundaries of their habitations to see which nations would serve God. It's right in there. It's right in the book of Acts, Christian nations. The Lord himself divided up the nations and set up their times and their boundaries to see which nation would serve Jesus Christ and which nations. And the judgment day, there's going to be judgment among the nations. How that works, I don't know. But I'm not to judge. All I know is God will judge the nations as well as the individuals. Don't believe me? Go back and read the Gospels. Did not Jesus Christ even speak to whole cities? O Capernaum, you think you're lifted up to heaven because I got my home there? Because I got my beachfront house there? No. If the miracles that occurred to you had happened in Sodom, Sodom would still be around today. It'll be worse for you on that judgment day. Well, you just can't have collective punishment, judge the whole city. Well, you know what? There you go. There you go. I'm just telling you what the Holy Scriptures say. It's not our job to get the Holy Scriptures to line up with our man-made morality. It's our job to get our thinking straightened out by the Holy Scriptures. Hey, Jason. So this is where I'm coming from. This is where I'm coming from. I don't care how bad it looks. God does not save by many or by few. It's whatever he decides to do. Don't be intimidated, these people. It's the church itself that has to make a decision It has to make a decision to reach out and grab Matthew 28, 18 through 20 and say, we're going to build Christian nations. We're going to build a Christian society. I don't care how many centuries it takes. Spaniards took 7 centuries to drive the infidel out of Spain. And we want everything tomorrow. We want to stick our food in a microwave and hit a button, and 15 seconds later, it's done. I mean, what's the worst that can happen? We go back to the 1800s and we have a cow and chickens and grow a garden. Oh, yeah, there'll be some death going on. Third of Europe was wiped out in the Black Plague in the 1300s. It doesn't mean it's the end. Could it be the end? Could be. The Almighty could say, okay, Jesus, go back tomorrow. But even then, who do you think is going to rule? Who do you think is going to rule when Jesus Christ comes back? Well, let me give you a little clue here. Well, the angels are going to rule. I'm just going to float around in my little cloud and do nothing. All right, Daniel chapter 7, verse 21. And I kept looking, and the horn that was waging war against the saints and overpowering them, till the ancients of days came and judgment was passed in favor of the saints of the highest one. And the time arrived for the saints to take possession of the kingdom. Now, there's a lot of different theories on this. Well, there's a couple of different theories. Either that happened at the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the day of Pentecost, and that's when the saints went out and took possessions of the kingdom and built Christendom and spread the gospel around the world. And the only other theory could be, well, when Jesus Christ himself returns. Either way, the Ancient of Days came and judgment was passed in favor of the saints of the highest one. Judgment was passed in favor of the saints of the highest one. And the time arrived when the saints took possession of the kingdom. There's work to do. There's governing to do. Whether it's before the second coming or after the second coming, it's the same work. And we've got our eyes on this idea that, you know, we're going to hang out and get raptured and eat cotton candy in eternity and have no responsibility. I don't know, man. I don't know. Daniel chapter 7, verse 22. Yeah, there's this horn, some little horn out there, waging war with the saints and overpowering them. But the Ancient of Days comes and judgment is passed in favor of the saints of the highest one. Who's the highest one? Jesus Christ. The believers in Jesus Christ. And the time arrived when the saints, who are the saints? Those in Jesus Christ, take possession of the kingdom. This is the vision. It's called the Great Commission. It's the whole Great Commission. And unfortunately, the evangelical church has reduced it to, let's try to save one or two, but not work too hard because the whole thing's going to sink and that's God's will. I don't know that you and I can sit here and say that. It says right here in Daniel that, look, yeah, there's tough times. It's supposed to be tough. Go read the Gospels. It's supposed to be tough. Jesus said, you want to follow me? Pick up your cross. You want to save your life in this world and lose it for eternity? Don't fear the one who can kill you. Fear me who can kill your body and cast your soul into hell. But the point is, we're supposed to be the evangelists. And that just doesn't mean the guy standing on the street corner. And I've done that. I've stood out there on the street corner preaching the gospel. What it means is, hey, we take over the movie studios. We take over the TV stations. We take over the news stations. Well, how are we going to do that? I don't know how we can do that. Look, I don't know. But it starts with you. I'm starting right now. I'm the new radio guy. I mean, I don't know. We got to just start. We got to start with where we're at. I can't say, you know what, I need to inherit $1 billion and I'll create a new empire. Hey, I got my little microphone. I got my little laptop sitting in my room. That's it. That's where you start. I don't care if it's your blog or the email or your Twitter feed or whatever you got. But the vision is to bring discipline to the nations and build Christian nations and a revival of Christendom and the establishment of Christian nations throughout the earth. And the nation and the kingdom that will not serve God, Holy Scripture says very clearly, it will be destroyed. It'll be wiped out. Now, whether it's this side of the second coming or the other side, it's not my problem. Not my problem. I don't have to figure that out. And I think we've gotten used to, you know, being very sure of what God's going to do and how he's going to do it. And then yet I read the Holy Scriptures. The one consistent thing I see about his second coming is you're going to be really, really surprised when I come back. You're going to be really surprised. Nobody knows. I'm going to come like a thief over and over and over. He says, I'm going to come like a thief. I'm coming like a thief when you're least expecting it. You're not going to expect me to come when I come. And here we are. We spend so much time and so many man hours and millions of dollars trying to figure out when he's coming. Well, here's the science. We can figure it out. Here's the science. Well, this is, you know, Israel and this and that and the other thing. And, oh, well, you know, it's coming real soon now. All these things are done. It's coming. Hey, the one consistent thing that I see him saying is, I'm coming like a thief, baby. You're going to be surprised. And so in the meantime, look, we got to build Christian nations. The future children of the world are dependent upon you and I to build Christian nations so that they can hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. How many kids do you think hear the gospel of Jesus Christ in America today? Where are they going to hear it? They're not going to hear it at the public schools. They're not going to hear it on TV. They're not going to hear it on the radio station. They're not going to hear it on the internet. Unless they go to bloodandfaith.com. They're not going to get it on YouTube. I used to have all the videos on YouTube. YouTube said, oh no, this is Christian content. Got purged. The only kind of Christian content they approve of is the same kind of Christian content that the Communist Party of China approves in China. Every priest or pastor in a Chinese church has to be a member of the Communist Party and support the Communist Party first and foremost. Well, we know this is evil. You know this is evil if you know the story of the book of Daniel, if you know the story of Daniel himself and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego. Three men in a pagan nation. They said, no, we're not going to bow the knee. You can throw us in a lion's den. You can throw us in the furnace of fire. We will not bend the knee. So these false pastors out there that acknowledge a Lord other than Jesus Christ, they're not doing any good. You got the same thing right here in Washington, D.C. You got all these homosexual churches. You got all these churches out there, fabulous churches of the historic Christian faith, and they fly the rainbow flag out front, not in memorial to God's covenant with Noah after the Great Flood. They deny the Great Flood, but it's to promote homosexuality, to promote evil in the church. Look, this is the time to be alive. This is not the time to be scared. This is the time to say, you know what, I was created for this moment. This is the time to open up our mouths and not hold back. If you want to err on the side of opening your mouth. I don't know, man, I might get in trouble. Yeah, you might. Yeah, you're right, you might. You might get in trouble. I don't know about you, but I'd rather show up to the judgment day and have the Lord say, oh, getting a little frisky down there, Fritz. You really stirred up a mess, weren't you? You really got those people upset with you. Good job. Instead of him saying, Fritz, man, why? Why didn't you open up your mouth? It's like, well, Lord, I didn't want to offend anybody. I mean, this is what I face in my own life, and there's many, 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 many years I've been quieter than I should have been. Not anymore, baby. I ain't the way it works. All right, folks, that's it for now. I'm gonna close down. But this was live. Hey, Martin, welcome, Martin. Just entered. But again, Fritz Berggren, bloodandfaith.com. And you can see me there and also fritzreport.podbean.com. I'm also on Gab. I'm in Gab at Cybertext. What else can I tell you guys? A couple new things up at bloodandfaith.com, articles that I've written. Let me go there really quickly. Today I had a podcast earlier today about the rapture and the second coming. It's based out of Luke chapter 21. And in there I said, look, I'm not trying to change your theology, not trying to change your whatever you think about the future, but here are some things to consider. And I talk about Jerusalem in 70 AD. I have a couple fiction articles up there. And I wrote them as nudist articles, but they're, if you look at the dates, you know, one's dated November 1st, 2022. I gave one of these to my wife and she said, oh, this is really terrible. I can't believe they're doing this. And I said, honey, look at the date. It's a piece of fiction that I wrote. She says, oh, it fooled me. So you might enjoy that. I have an article up there on regime change. And I'm speculating on how panicked this world really is, how panicked this administration really is. And that administration is simply a reflection of the larger world as well. I don't like to get partisan. I don't find that that's useful because I find both parties to be not worth a whole lot. And I've got an article up there on fifth generation warfare. Again, a fiction piece because I posted it in April, but it's published the 1st of August, 2022. So, but it's to give you an idea of what fifth generation warfare is about, or at least a portion of it. And a good portion of it is messing with people's minds, getting people confused and dependent. And the people that need to be the most proactive in this really is the church, because that's our mandate. We're supposed to own that sphere. We're supposed to own the airwaves. We're supposed to own the media. We're the ones that are supposed to be the evangelists preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so we need to get back that and own that and overwhelm them. The only thing that drives out darkness is light. And who's got the light? Only us. We are up to Genesis chapter 9 in the Sunday morning services. And I'm about ready to do Genesis chapter 10, which is the history of the nations. It's the table of nations in Genesis chapter 10. Because it's Easter, I have segued into Easter for last Sunday and then for this coming weekend, Easter Sunday. And then I'll put up something for Good Friday tomorrow night. But I do have a post here at bloodandfaith.com. You have to go back just a little bit on the history of the nations. And all of us came from Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Every one of us came from Shem, Ham, or Japheth. And these days, you know, probably got some mixed blood in there. A little Japheth, a little Ham, etc. And I did post several articles. There's one guy, and he has the best really written summation of you know, where the nations ended up that I have read. And I've done some studying about this. So I've really enjoyed that. And I put links up there for that. It's important. All this stuff is important. And I know some people will say, well, you know, the Bible says don't worry about genealogies. Well, again, that's like, you know, I've made this comment before. People will camp around one little scripture. They don't see the whole context. Genealogies is one of them. The Bible is full of genealogies. Genesis 10, 1 Chronicles chapter 1, and in all the Gospels, it talks about the genealogy of Jesus Christ. It goes all the way back to Adam. So to suggest that genealogy shouldn't be talked about is to suggest that maybe those chapters in the Bible shouldn't be there, but they are. So again, context. You got to have the big picture from the beginning to the end, from Genesis to the Revelation. It's important. The Table of Nations is exceedingly important. If it wasn't, it wouldn't be there. Most important 11 chapters in the Bible are the first 11 chapters of the book of Genesis. Everything else depends upon that. So there's some good links there. Some dense reading, but it's worth it. Got another fiction article up there. It's dated October 7th, 2022. I said, breaking news, the elections are postponed. And, you know, I wrote that after I watched the ex-president go into the White House. And really wasn't very respectful to the current president. And I thought, wow, they're really desperate now. And I got a good article on here on Civil War and the World War. Posted that on April 5th. This is something I've talked about for a number of years, especially to my closest friends and family. It's just something that, you know, it's my personal opinion. It's based on my study of history. And I talk about, how a gut feeling isn't necessarily just some, bad pizza you had last night, but your mind will assemble everything you know, even things you've forgotten, and then present it to your conscious mind in a way that you can understand and you feel it in your gut. It's the spidey sense. You know, something's going on here. I need to figure it out and pay attention to it. And that's how I feel about a civil war and a war with Russia. And regarding the war with Russia, wow. You know, who am I for? I'm for my country. I'm for the United States of America. Make no mistake about that. But boy, I'm amazed at how quickly things are ramping up with that. And if you've listened to some recent podcasts, I've talked about the insatiable nature of the beast. What beast? Daniel chapter 7, Revelation 13. Got another article on, you've heard the phrase, you will own nothing and be happy. We're already there. Already there. And by the way, I have a video that I put up that I created years ago. And that's also on Blood and Faith. It talks about the Judgment Day and the importance of family. So that's it. That's where we're at today. And I'm going to take off. So God bless you guys. You guys have a great evening. And we'll see you guys soon.